Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from Midtown Atlanta on the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower, overlooking majestic Buckhead in the city of 6 million. That's a little bit like New York. We sleep a little, but the engines are roaring down Peachtree Street until about 4 a.m. That's what happens when the cities get big. All right, we have a lot to do today, and there are some things that there's some things that I want to talk about, and some things that I think that are very important that people just won't talk about, but I will, and I'm going to start. I wrote an opinion piece that's on my blog site, which is We Believe America on WordPress.com. And it's this is the political stuff that I do. I do my recovery and the Christian material on the Pushing Jesus site, but the We Believe We Believe America is the one that has the political stuff. All right. Let me just take a couple of minutes and read this because I think it's that important. The title of it is We Have Surrendered the Moral High Ground. Make no mistake about it, the progressives have seized the moral high ground. According to their thinking, they are the undisputed advocates of fairness in marriage and the unrelenting champions of women's rights. Because of this, they're the only ones whose opinions are noble and praiseworthy. Theirs are the only enlightened perspectives, and it's the only viewpoint that they will tolerate. To offer refutation or to be critical of their wisdom in any way is to invite character assassination and a stinging rebuke. Most who do not accept the progressive worldview keep their opinions to themselves, refusing to do battle with this era's Leviathan. Sadly, Christians have abdicated the moral high ground without putting up much of a fight. Progressives are convinced history is on their side and the end result of their endeavors will produce a better society. It's why they're militant in their unrelenting assault on the institutions of our nation and the personal rights of Americans. That we thrived on these for more than two centuries is counterproductive to their cause. It's why they continually engage in revisionist history. The enemy of the progressives is the Judeo-Christian worldview, along with its narrow, confining interpretation of God. To a progressive, all roads lead to God. He or she can be whatever you want, according to the progressives. God is how you understand him to be, not how he has defined himself to be. To not believe he exists is also fine for a progressive. It's all okay. It's because their worldview is pantheistic. Plus, their worldview is founded on polls and the consensus of their spokespeople. A good example of this would be when Barack Hussein Obama recently addressed Planned Parenthood, asking God to bless their endeavors. This pleased millions of progressives, bolstered by polls trending in their favor, an ever-increasing number of people embrace the progressive beliefs. They're giddy from success. They believe that they will remain in power from now on, saying that Hillary Clinton is going to be the president in 2016, and that the House of Representatives is going to be won by the Democrats and be retaken in 2014. If that happens, then they are convinced that they will be able to usher in their utopian society. Their God is on their side. But their God is not Almighty God. Almighty God remains the same from age to age. His righteousness is constant, never changing. His standard never changes either. He is who he says he is, and our understanding of him comes from his revelation of himself to us in the scriptures. That's much different than the conjured up God of the progressives. That being said, there's some questions that I want to ask. These are very pointed. One, in the scriptures, how does God describe anal intercourse between two men? Two, what would he have to say about normalizing pedophiles, calling them child attracted instead of pedophile? Three, what would he have to say about those who use his name to champion the cause of infanticide, like Planned Parenthood and Barack Obama, asking God to bless what they're doing? Four, what is his perspective about having strange gods before him? If you need a hint on that, just think of the first commandment. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. The answer to these questions is important. If you're a child of the light, can you sit on the sidelines while the children of darkness redefine what is right, calling what has traditionally been right wrong, and what they are now spewing as right when it has always been called wrong? Now, millions of Christian people voted for Barack Obama. Some of them are willfully deceived about who he is, but most are just ignorant. If you're one of them, it's time for you to repent and to stand for God's truth. There's no middle ground on this. You can't just sit on the sidelines. The progressives maintain they are on the right side of history, but they most definitely are not on the right side of eternity. If you think the progressives are too strong and their victory is inevitable because of what they've been going, then let me just say this to you. Your God is too small. It's time to rise up and reclaim this great nation, which was founded to be a beacon on the hill and a light to the world. All of that is true. Now, my brother has been waiting patiently, and I'm going to bring him on. Richard, how are you today?
Good, John. And I'd like to answer the first question. When two men lie down together, the Lord God said they must be stoned. And I don't mean on marijuana.
Well, that was in the Old Testament, and that was what happened. And frankly, it really is kind of interesting that the progressives are so enamored with Islam because gay guys are beheaded in countries where Sharia law rules. But we're not saying that. And, you know, nobody wants that. Nobody in America wants anything like that. I mean, there isn't anybody calling for stuff like that. But to legitimize wrong and make it right and be the champions of it. Today, the first professional athlete in America came out and said that he was gay. It's and the guy from the Washington Wizards, Jason Collins.
He's the first from the NBA. There's been
the first
professional
one,
football
I think,
player. No, there's been professional football player.
I remember after he retired, Jackie Smith, who died of AIDS, said that he was gay. And he was really a pretty good guy and a good ball player. But that's been many, many years ago. Now, I believe that that the way that Collins came out was through a tweet, and it says, "I'm a 34-year-old NBA center. I'm black and I'm gay." Now, there were all kinds of tweets about that. You know, Bill Clinton, "I'm proud to call Jason Collins a friend." Chelsea Clinton, "Very proud of my friend Jason Collins." Ellen DeGeneres, well, you know what she would say. And Kobe Bryant, "Proud of Jason Collins. Don't suffocate who you are because of the ignorance of others." Fourth, courage, and he's standing by him. Now, this is the same Kobe Bryant, you know, who a couple of years ago, as you remember, raped that poor girl. And, you know, you got to be who you're going to be. I think he had to buy his wife a $2.5 million ring to keep her from leaving him after that, because his whole NBA career was, you know, was in jeopardy. And, you know, that he would make a remark like this just seems a little unusual to me. But here's the thing. And I want to address this. And, you know, Kobe Bryant, truth of the matter, he did a really good job of representing our nation at the Olympics, and has done, it's really kind of redeemed himself in a lot of ways. He was much younger when that happened, and it was so wrong, dead wrong. I mean, you just don't rape people, period. It just isn't, you know, that is, it isn't cool. If the girl says no, she means no. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No doesn't mean maybe. It means no. And for anybody that's listening, and particularly young guys, just you need to get that in your head. When a girl says no, she means no. And it's never maybe, or no never means yes. So just, you know, they need to kind of keep that one in there. But all right, so because of people's ignorance, so if you do not believe in gay marriage, you're ignorant. Now, that's exactly what this says, and the progressives, that's what they believe. If you don't believe in the way they view history, you're ignorant. Now, I don't believe in gay marriage, and it's based upon my convictions in the Judeo-Christian heritage, which have been consistent for over 5,000 years. Does that make everyone who has ever ascribed to the Judeo-Christian heritage, which, by the way, would include every president up to, but not including Barack Hussein Obama, who, when he was running for Senate as in Illinois, was for gay marriage, and then when he ran for president, he was against gay marriage, and now after, you know, here at the end, at the beginning of his second term, oh, lo and behold, he's for it again. So, but we're not going to talk about how you know, how he flip-flopped on that, because that's not really the key. To me, the key is that there's a clear attempt at intimidation for the Christian worldview from the progressives that were ignorant, that were out of touch with reality, that were on the wrong side of history, and they're right.
And we're evil.
And they're going to win in their worldview. Now, what do you think about that? Is that something that we need to? Most people aren't willing to even talk about it because they don't want to take the criticism that is certain to be coming our way, for even saying, you know what, that's wrong. If God calls it perversion, then why am I ignorant to agree with him? Why does it make me ignorant to agree with something that has been part of our Judeo-Christian heritage for 5,000 years? And why is their perspective that they're right and that they're progressive and that, you know, gee, this is fair? Well, you can't. They can make a law that makes it legal for a gay to get married, but they can't make it right. And God's standard never changes. It's one of the good things about him. He never changes. What do you think about this?
You think it's a little hypocritical that they think that we Christians don't know what, we don't know right from wrong, or we're evil. But if you're Islam, that, you know, that's a culture that we should be embracing. Now, the progressives say that. But as you mentioned, in Islam, if you're gay, you're dead. They just cut your head off. But they accept Islam, but they don't accept what you and I feel, because we're evil.
Mm. Well, this there is an inevitability about this that seems like a tidal wave pushing its way relentlessly towards us. Now, does that mean that there's no hope? No. Does that mean that we should accept this and change our beliefs? I don't think that's possible.
No.
You know, I don't think that's possible. It's after believing and reading in the scriptures, do I really care if gays are gay with each other? I don't. Do I care about it being sanctioned by the government as and made normal instead of what it really is? Yes, I do. Why would I? Well, you can't legalize what's wrong and make it right without the society deteriorating morally and culturally. It just, that's the way it works. And that people don't see this just indicates, I mean, they call us ignorant. I would call them deceived. badly deceived. And there are millions of Christian people who support this. It's not like every Christian person sees this clearly. They don't. And why wouldn't they? Because they don't look to the scriptures as the basis for truth, one. Two, because they are blinded by the cultural thing, and they honestly believe it's fair. That's why they've got that equal sign. It's fair. It's unfair of us to not want them to be able to do this. That's their entire position. What would you say to somebody who said, you know, well, this is fair and you're being unfair? What would you say to them? And let's just say we're trying to be reasonable instead of you saying what you might like to say to them. I just think since we're on the radio, I better add that.
Oh, so you don't want me to give you my
feelings? I'm not interested in a string of profanity from the former sailor. Go ahead. What would you say to them?
Well, obviously they have the right to believe what they believe in, and I have the right to believe what I believe in. I just happen to believe that I'm right, and they're full of baloney. How's that? I don't understand how some of these people think. I mean, it's just beyond me that there's logic involved here, you know. And I think some representative, and I'm not sure who, said, you know, if we gave all the gays a state and just, you know, put them in a big place and made sure that they get fed and everything, but they couldn't leave, eventually they'd all die off now, wouldn't they? Which obviously is unrealistic, but there's common logic. They can't reproduce themselves.
No, that's true. That's true. And they're very evangelistic. That I know for sure. I mean, I grew up in Boston. And we had to, you know, boy, I remember as a teenage boy being approached by homosexual men. I mean, not 5, 10, 20, 100 times more. I mean, lots. There were, you know, it just was a, but they weren't, you know, they weren't bad people. They just were, but they were definitely, you know, wanted what they wanted. I was, you know, when you get older, that doesn't happen. But teenage boys are very susceptible.
You mean like some of them
and
were
people that don't think that that's true just don't know what they're talking about, because it absolutely is. And you know what? This whole idea of, well, you know, make pedophiles, call them child attracted. I mean, they got a bill in front of the General Assembly of the State of California to do that right now.
Yeah.
Well, somebody said once, you can't make chicken soup out of chicken, you know what, either, can you?
Yeah. Well, you know, let the progressives volunteer their children and their grandchildren to be the ones that are, you know, that are put in the care of these child-attracted people. You know, I promise you it would not take very long for them to realize what a really bad idea that is. Regardless, these are some things that aren't going away. But the problem is that Christian people are not standing based upon a solid core of convictions that are thousands of years old, that have sustained this nation from its inception. And now all of a sudden, in the 21st century, we have the wisdom of Kobe Bryant and all the rest of these people saying that we are ignorant for not buying into a worldview that is clearly antithetical to what the scriptures teach. It just is.
You think Kobe Bryant would want to date him?
No, I don't think so. I think it's pretty clear that Kobe is not really.
Then we're not really ignorant. We're just logical.
Well, yes, indeed. My position is based upon what the scriptures say, which are the revealed truth from Almighty God. If he changes his mind, then I'm fine with it. If he wants to change his mind and lets us know clearly, then that's fine. But he hasn't done that. And his revelation about this stuff is complete. He doesn't change. It's our job to discern his will and just walk accordingly. All right, now does that mean that, you know, we're holier than thou and better? And no, but you just, you know, because everybody, all people are sinful. But at the same time, you can't legitimize what's wrong and make it right without having enormous societal problems come from it that people don't see. I'll give you a couple examples. One, are the 3% of the people are gay. Let's just assume that I think there's probably 2 million are gay men and you know much less female, but I don't know that for sure. There's 3%. So that's 10. Yeah, that's 10 million people. Gay men live 20 years less than straight men. So the average life expectancy of a male now is like 76. So that means that they're down in their mid-50s, average. Well, the benefits, if their marriage is legal, then the benefits to their survivors alone is going to break the bank. Nobody thinks about stuff like that. And the opportunistic diseases that come from the lifestyle are what make their lives shorter. How does that better society? I don't see it. But, you know, I'm sure that people who will listen to this program and that are listening now are going to be thinking, well, they're just ignorant. They're just, you know, and let them. I think if you stand on what God says and don't waver from it, you can't really be faulted. What do you think about that? We got about a minute left.
I think you're right. I mean, I'd rather be called ignorant and in my own mind know that I'm right, rather than have these people. I guess it really comes down to it. I really don't give a tinker's damn what some of these people feel about the way I feel. I've lived my life accordingly.
That's the way that is. And we've been talking about the NBA. We're out of time now. So, in talking about the NBA, I just want to say I'm very proud of the Boston Celtics and the fight they put up yesterday. I want them to, you know, go on in further, and, you know, we're in New York on Wednesday. We'll see what happens. I got my fingers crossed, but that I don't have a prediction on, I'm afraid. At any rate,
let me just say this. Good night to you, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.